Lesson 3. Outcomes. Describe the duties that firefighters must perform to protect and preserve a fire scene. Scene preservation and protection. Scene preservation includes all attempts to prevent contamination and/or removal or loss of evidence relating to the origin and cause of the fire. Preserving evidence is the responsibility of all fire officers and firefighters at the scene. Fire scene security helps protect evidence and ensure that it is not damaged, altered, or removed. In a sense, scene security is the first step in establishing the chain of custody of the evidence. Reasons for protecting the fire scene. Evidence of the location of the area of origin and fire cause is necessary to determine the fire cause classification. Remember, unless you are qualified/certified to do so, you are not in a position to determine what is evidence, nor are you in a position to determine what is admissible in court. You should protect everything that looks odd or suspicious until those conducting the investigation have examined it. You must be familiar with the importance of preserving evidence, the methods for preserving it, and the methods for securing the fire scene. Area of origin. The area of origin is the general location where the fire began. It will contain the precise point of origin, figure 15.28, until ordered to move it, all debris should remain in place. If necessary, it may be removed and placed in a specific area where it can be controlled and protected. Control of all evidence must be maintained as part of the chain of custody required in legal cases. As part of the fire suppression team, you may become part of the chain of custody, figure 15.29. It is important to remember what you see, smell, and hear during the incident. Chain of custody, continuous changes of possession of physical evidence that must be established in court to admit such material into evidence. In order for physical evidence to be admissible in court, there must be an evidence log of accountability that documents each change of possession from the evidence's discovery until it is presented in court. Area of origin, the general location where the fire began. It will contain the precise point of origin. Obvious signs of fire origin. In structure and vehicle fires, the area of origin is often apparent. If not, firefighters can follow physical indicators from the area of least damage to the area of most damage to locate the area of origin. The most obvious sign of origin is the location with the most damage, where the fire was burning the hottest for the longest amount of time. Eyewitness accounts may also be valuable in locating where a fire began. Eyewitnesses can tell firefighters where they first saw smoke or what was burning before fire crews arrived. Identifying witnesses, securing the scene, and noting initial scene observations are critical to the process. As soon as possible after the fire is under control, the incident commander, IC, and sometimes a fire investigator or criminal investigator, determines the area of origin, the fire cause, and protects or collects evidence that may be used in a legal proceeding. The area of origin in wildland or ground cover fires may be less apparent and require an experienced investigator to locate. In situations where the area of origin cannot be accurately determined, firefighters should delay overhaul operations beyond locating and extinguishing fires, protecting the scene, and establishing scene security. A fire investigator should be requested to perform a thorough investigation of the scene, figure 15.30. Procedures for protecting the area of origin. A secure fire scene has a recognizable perimeter, and someone assigned to maintain that perimeter. Fire scene security is initially the responsibility of the fire suppression personnel who respond to the emergency. Early security measures should include the following: restricting access to the scene, protecting any potential evidence located in the area, minimizing fire suppression and overhaul activities that could destroy important information regarding the origin and cause of the fire. The first arriving fire investigator may alter the security measures in place or implement additional measures to protect the scene. This decision will be based on the investigator's assessment of the scene, the circumstances surrounding the fire, and the measures in place. On incidents requiring the assistance of law enforcement agencies such as those involving injuries or fatalities, an investigator should request an officer to monitor each entrance and exit to the scene to document every individual who has entered the secured area. There are several guidelines for establishing a perimeter of the proper size in the following situations. Explosions, the perimeter for explosions should be established at 1.5 times the distance from the farthest piece of debris found. As the investigation continues, this perimeter may expand as additional debris is located. Structure fires. Firefighters may establish a fire scene perimeter to limit access to the fire and keep bystanders at a safe distance. The perimeter may be expanded to encompass the area surrounding the building and any potential evidence that is located outside the building. The perimeter should extend beyond the farthest piece of evidence located during the exterior examination of the structure. If no evidence is found outside the building, it may be sufficient to restrict access into the building or an area of the building. The restricted area should provide fire investigators with room to work and protect all known or suspected evidence from unauthorized personnel or bystanders. To be effective, fire scene perimeters must be recognizable and enforceable. Common ways to establish these perimeters are as follows. Ensure that the initial perimeter is larger than is necessary for investigations. The perimeter can always be made smaller if needed, but increasing the size of a perimeter is much more difficult. Ensure that the perimeter is visible and recognizable to everyone on the scene. Methods used to mark the perimeter should be easy to use. Many public safety organizations use rope, traffic cones, or marked barrier tape, figure 15.31. Use uniformed law enforcement officers or firefighters to control access into the established perimeter. For long-term operations, private security guards and/or the installation of construction barriers or fences may be necessary. If an investigation is considered to be criminal in nature, the investigator may institute the following procedures. Keep a log of all persons who enter and leave the incident perimeter whenever it is necessary to limit the number of personnel entering a scene. Permit access only to those individuals who are authorized to be in the area. Ensure that firefighters and other emergency personnel move to a staging area outside the perimeter. This move to the staging area should occur after personnel have completed their tasks in the area. Once in the staging area, they should wait for additional assignments or release from the incident. Ensure that others brought into the area are always escorted. Mark potential evidence located within the perimeter so that it will not be disturbed before detailed examination, documentation, and collection. Use available materials, such as rope, traffic cones, or barrier tape, to provide this protection. Depending on local policies and procedures, once the fire is out and the investigation is complete, the structure may be secured and turned over to the owner/occupant or law enforcement officials. Leaving the fire scene intact can assist insurance and private investigators who perform inquiries on behalf of an owner or an insurance company, figure 15.32. If local protocol is to remove debris from the structure, this is the final activity before securing the structure. Remove charred materials to prevent the possibility of rekindling and to help reduce smoke damage. Unburned materials can be separated from the debris and cleaned. Debris may be shoveled into large containers to reduce the number of trips between the fire area and the debris collection location. Dumping debris onto streets, sidewalks, or shrubbery makes for poor public relations. Whenever possible, dump debris in areas that are not publicly visible, like a backyard or back alley. If those locations are unavailable, it may be necessary to dump the debris in a driveway or front yard until it can be removed. Dumping debris on inexpensive plastic tarps makes it easier to clean up, protects the drive and yard, and is good for public relations. Lesson 3, PT2. Fire cause. Once the area of origin has been identified, fire cause determination is the next step of the operation. Fire cause determination is the process of establishing the cause of a fire incident through careful investigation and analysis of the available evidence. The following sections provide information on identifying signs of arson, protecting evidence in place, moving materials to a safe location, identifying signs of arson. When the initial cause determination indicates that the fire was incendiary or undetermined, it will be necessary to gather evidence based on your observations and those of other firefighters. Depending on local protocol, local or state fire investigators or law enforcement officials may be assigned to perform a formal investigation. In addition to gathering physical evidence, these investigators will need all the information you can provide to them. Some of the things you should notice include: time of day. Are people and circumstances at the scene as they normally would be at this time of day? For example, if a fire is in a dwelling at 0300 hours, the building occupants would probably be wearing night clothes, not street clothes. If a fire is in an office building well after working hours, the owner or employees may need to explain why they are present at that hour. Weather and natural hazards. Is it hot, cold, or stormy? Is there heavy snow, ice, high water, or fog? If the outside temperature is high, the furnace in the structure would not be operating. If the outside temperature is low, the windows normally would not be wide open. Arsonists sometimes set fires during inclement weather because the fire department's response may be delayed. Man-made barriers. Are there any barriers such as barricades, fallen trees, cables, trash bins, or vehicles blocking access to hydrants, sprinkler and standpipe connections, streets, or driveways? These situations could indicate an arsonist's attempt to impede firefighters' access and delay fire suppression efforts. People leaving the scene. Are people leaving the scene in haste? Fire intrigues most people, and they will remain in the area to watch. People leaving the scene by vehicle or on foot may be an important observation in an investigation. If a vehicle is seen leaving the scene, especially at high speed, note its color and as many details about it as possible, especially the license plate number. If possible, note how many occupants are in the vehicle. If someone is seen leaving the scene on foot, try to remember that person's attire, general physical appearance, and any peculiarities such as trying to leave undetected, walking briskly, or looking over his or her shoulder. Additional information that firefighters may notice while carrying out their duties includes the following. Time of arrival and extent of fire. Note the extent of fire involvement at the time of arrival. Observe the color and movement of smoke and flames. Wind direction and velocity. Note wind direction and velocity. These factors may have a great effect on the natural path of fire spread. Doors or windows locked or unlocked. Note the position and condition of doors and windows upon arrival. Before opening doors and windows, determine whether they are locked, unlocked, or show any signs of forced entry such as broken glass or damaged frames. In some cases, the insides of windows may be covered with blankets, paint, or paper to delay the discovery of fire. Location of the fire. Observe the location of the fire. This information may help to identify the area of origin. Also note whether there were separate, seemingly unconnected fires. If so, the fire might have been set in several locations or spread by trailers, combustible material used to spread fire from one area to another. Containers or cans. Note metal or plastic containers found inside or outside the structure. They may have been used to transport accelerants. Burglary tools. Note any tools such as pry bars or screwdrivers found in areas away from workshops. They may have been used to break into the facility. Familiar faces. Notice familiar faces in the crowd of bystanders, people who are seen at numerous fires in the area. They may be individuals who like to watch fire incidents, or they may be habitual fire setters. As the operation continues, you should continue to observe conditions that may lead to the determination of the fire cause. Unusual odors. Note any unusual odors. Even though firefighters wear SCBA during interior firefighting and overhaul operations, they may smell unusual odors outside the structure. In addition, odors may cling to personal protective equipment and be detectable after firefighters come out of the smoke. Abnormal behavior of fire when water is applied. Observe how the fire behaves when water is applied to it. Flashbacks, reignition, several rekindles in the same area, and an increase in the intensity of the fire may indicate accelerant use. Water applied to a burning liquid accelerant may cause it to splatter, allowing flame intensity to increase and fire to spread in several directions. Water applied to fires involving ordinary combustibles usually reduces flame spread. Obstacles hindering firefighting. Note whether any doors are nailed shut or furniture is placed in doorways and hallways to hinder firefighting efforts. Holes may have been cut in the floors to hinder fire suppression activities and spread the fire. Incendiary devices. Note any pieces of glass, fragments of bottles or containers, and metal parts of electrical or mechanical devices. Most incendiary devices, any device designed and used to start a fire, leave evidence of their existence, figure 15.33. More than one device may be found, and sometimes a malfunctioning device can be found during a thorough search. Trailers. Note combustible materials such as rolled rags, blankets, newspapers, or ignitable liquid that could be used to spread fire from one area to another. Trailers usually leave char or burn patterns and may be used with incendiary ignition devices, figure 15.34. Structural alterations. Observe any alterations to the structure. The following methods can be used to allow a fire to spread quickly through the structure. Removal of plaster or drywall to expose wood. Holes made in ceilings, walls, and floors. Fire doors are secured in an open position. Fire patterns. Note the fire's movement and intensity patterns. These can trace how the fire spread, identify the original ignition source, and determine the fuels involved. Carefully note any areas of irregular burning or locally heavy charring in areas of little fuel. Heat intensity. Look for evidence of high heat intensity, especially concerning other areas of the same room. This may indicate the use of accelerants or intentionally disconnected gas lines. Other factors may contribute to variations in heat intensity. One of these factors is synthetic materials, such as polyurethane, that may produce abnormally high heat intensity and may be confused with the use of accelerants. Availability of documents. Note anyone who conveniently produces insurance policies, inventory lists, deeds, or other legal documents that would normally be locked away. This may indicate that the fire was planned. Fire detection and protection systems. Check for evidence of tampering or intentional damage if fire detection and suppression systems and devices are inoperable. Intrusion alarms. Check intrusion alarms to see whether they have been tampered with or intentionally disabled. Location of fire. Note any possible ignition sources in the area of the fire. Fires burning in areas remote from normal ignition sources demand an explanation. Some examples are fires in closets, bathtubs, file drawers, or in the center of the floor. Note, do not read too much into a shortage of material possessions. A person's economic status may dictate his or her lifestyle, and some people just do not have as much as others. Personal possessions. Note anything that might suggest that preparations were made for a fire. For example, absence or shortage of clothing, furnishings, appliances, food, and dishes. Absence of personal possessions such as diplomas, financial papers, and toys. Absence of items of sentimental value such as photo albums, special collections, wedding pictures, and heirlooms. Absence of pets that would ordinarily be in the structure. Household items. Note whether any major household items appear to be removed or replaced with those of lesser value or inferior quality. Check to see whether major appliances were disconnected or unplugged and determine why they were in this condition. Equipment or inventory. Look for obsolete equipment or inventory, fixtures, display cases, and raw materials. Business records. Determine whether important business records are out of their normal places and left where they would be endangered by fire. Check safes and fire-resistant files to determine whether they are open and exposing the contents. Protecting evidence in place. Firefighters should protect any potential evidence they find from being disturbed until an investigator arrives. A firefighter or investigator should be stationed with evidence until it can be processed if personnel are operating and there is a potential for damage due to foot traffic or from the operations being conducted. Another objective for limiting access to the fire scene is safety. As the perimeter is established, hazardous areas should be marked or otherwise secured to prevent injury to personnel operating in the area and bystanders. Evidence must remain undisturbed except when absolutely necessary for the extinguishment of the fire. Some best practices to protect the fire scene are: avoid walking on, cross-contaminating, or destroying potential evidence. Avoid excessive use of water to avoid washing evidence away. Protect human footprints and tire marks. Cardboard boxes placed over footprints can prevent otherwise clear prints from being degraded before they are photographed or cast in plaster. Immediately close dampers and other openings to protect completely or partially burned papers found in a furnace, stove, or fireplace. Leave charred documents found in containers such as wastebaskets, small file cabinets, and binders that can be moved easily. These documents may have been used to start the fire. Although the paper may be burned or appear destroyed, important data may be recovered during laboratory analysis, figure 15.35. Protect these items from airflow that can disturb or scatter them. Plastic tarps or salvage covers may be placed over evidence to indicate its location and protect it. Moving materials to a safe location. You should not gather or handle evidence unless it is absolutely necessary to preserve it. If you handle, move, or gather evidence, you become part of the chain of custody for that evidence. You must accurately document all actions.